he had that personality that drew you in, made you trust him. The act was perfect. And yet underneath that, you have a pedophile. He was methodical. He gained the trust of the parents. He gained the trust of the school. He gained the trust of the kids, of the church, and then abused that trust. You know, that's a psychopath. It's not about revenge. It's not about, it's not even necessarily about justice. It's about preventing him from ever harming anyone else again.
Well, that is Jeremy Cook, and he was one of the victims who testified in a trial this week against a man by the name of Nathaniel Morales. Now, Morales has been found guilty on 5 counts of sex abuse at this court in Maryland, including sex abuse of a minor and sex offense in the second degree. Why should this matter to us? Well, here's why. Because Morales is a former church leader within Sovereign Grace Ministries, and this is the church group that is the defendant, along with a number of its leaders, in that amended class action civil lawsuit now on appeal that alleges church leaders covered up child sex abuse crimes at venues that included church property and school property and church retreats. Now, Morales was one of the alleged predators referenced in that lawsuit, and as he was on trial this week, one major pastor within Sovereign Grace is said to have admitted that he never reported Morales's crimes to the police. Now, what kind of effect will this criminal conviction have on the bigger class action lawsuit against Sovereign Grace Ministries? We're going to find out more now from Brent Detweiler. He is one of the founders of Sovereign Grace Ministries who broke ties with the church group, and he has written extensively about the sex abuse scandals and class action lawsuit at his blog, BrentDetweiler.com. And he's also been following the trial of Nathaniel Morales this week, and he's here to tell us what went on in that courtroom. And it's great, Brent, to talk to you again. How are you?
Very well, Janet. Good to be on your show.
Well, thank you for having us. First of all, maybe you can educate listeners a little bit on Nathaniel Morales, who this man is.
Well, Nathaniel was a part of Covenant Life Church almost from the very beginning, going back to the early 1980s. He was in the worship group and had a prominent role in doing solos on a Sunday morning. He was also the unofficial youth leader and would meet with young people in the church to mentor them, to counsel them, to do Bible studies for them, to participate with them in activities. And as came out in the trial, all this was the means whereby he was able to groom victims and then take advantage of them and win over the trust and confidence of parents in the process.
Incredible. So he was brought up on how many charges altogether?
Well, there were 8 counts that were supposed to be tried this week. 3 were dropped because one of the victims, Daniel Bates, had to have some medical procedures this past weekend and therefore could not participate in the trial. And so unexpectedly, 3 of the counts had to be dropped. But the other counts, the other 5 counts, went forward concerning Jeremy Cook, Brian Wallahan, and Samuel Bates, and the jury returned the verdict this morning, and he was found guilty of all 5 counts pertaining to those 3 young men.
Incredible. And a lot of people will ask, why did it take so long to get this guy in a criminal trial facing charges on this?
Well, I think there are probably 2 prominent reasons. These young men were all terribly ashamed and embarrassed. They were in shock. They were traumatized. They didn't want it to come out until finally Samuel Bates thought, I've just got to go forward. And he approached the Montgomery County Police Department, made contact with Detective Sally McGee in 2009. And that began the investigation. And we are now almost 5 years later. And we finally have a conviction. So, indeed, it takes time to process these things and to investigate these things, to charge these things, and then to find the defendant guilty. But it has finally happened, and we are very grateful to God for that conclusion.
Getting some justice for those victims. Now, what about the testimony of Grant Lehman? Grant Lehman, a very prominent figure within Sovereign Grace. He's named as one of the defendants in the second amended complaint, the civil action lawsuit. What did he say in the courtroom?
Well, when he was being cross-examined, interestingly, by the defense attorney, Morales' attorney, Attorney Drew asked him, do you, Mr. Lehman, have a responsibility, or did you have a responsibility to report these crimes, and in context, it was specifically against Jeremy Cook and Brian Wallahan in 1992, when he became aware of them, he was asked, do you have a responsibility to report to police? He responded verbatim, I believe so. The Morales' lawyer followed up, did you report to the police? And he responded, I didn't do it. And those are exact quotes. And so he admitted to knowing about the abuse of these two men in 1992 and not reporting it. And later it came out in the trial that he became aware of the abuse of Jeremy Cook the following year in 1993, when Samuel Bates went to Grant Lehman and told him about Jeremy Cook. And his response to Samuel was that the pastors would take care of it. But they never did. In fact, to this day, no one ever has followed up with Jeremy Cook.
That's incredible. So Grant Lehman was a longtime pastor. Didn't he recently leave his church? Didn't he recently step down or step aside for a time?
He recently stepped down as a pastor after 31 years as a pastor in Covenant Life Church. He remains a member of Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Okay. So explain for people, Brent, why, I mean, we know why this was a significant thing, because he's one of the defendants in this class action lawsuit that's now on appeal. If he has now admitted on the stand that he knew about the crimes and did not report them to police, what sorts of implications, in your opinion, might that have for the bigger lawsuit?
Well, I would think that this is... I don't know quite sure how to phrase it, but certainly good news for the civil lawsuit. I would think this has significant implications because there was an admission of guilt under oath while cross-examined that heinous crimes, to use the words of the assistant state's attorney, Jessica Hall, when she was referring to the Covenant Life cover-up by the pastors in regards to all three victims, made it very clear that that these were not reported, and that was an admission of guilt.
Was there any discussion at all, Brent, when Pastor Lehman was on the stand about why he did not go to police? He indicated, from what you said, that the pastors would take care of it. Was that really the response? That's why he didn't tell police? Did he explain that at all?
No, what was interesting about this trial was they were not concerned about motive, and therefore they didn't ask any questions about motive like maybe you would in a murder trial,
right,
where you might be quizzed as to and delve into the issue of motive. They were simply interested in the facts, and actually at times when questions came up that may have touched upon motive, there would be objections. And so it was just the facts, just the evidence. Did you report? No, I didn't report. You knew about these crimes and you didn't report them. Yes, that's right.
Well, when you talk about the victims, excuse me, in this particular trial who got justice today, there were an awful lot of people, other, you know, people who were on this civil action lawsuit, this class action lawsuit. Have you heard from anybody else today? Because I know you have talked to a lot of these people and know a lot of these people, and I'm curious about their reaction, too.
Well, I have been in interaction with Nate Morales's wife. She didn't know about his sex abuse of boys until he was arrested in October of 2012, and she subsequently divorced him. Needless to say, she discovered the horror of having been married to a quote-unquote monster. And she and her family also have convincing and compelling evidence that Morales went on to abuse children, boys, that, you know, has yet to be prosecuted or pursued. But she and her boys, and their five stepsons, two Morales from a previous marriage, were all crying and actually rejoicing that their stepfather and her former husband received justice. In fact, she was scheduled to testify against him today, but it appears that the prosecutors, the state's attorneys, felt the evidence was so strong that she wasn't needed to testify.
No need. Yeah. And then he's going to be sentenced then, I read, in August. Is that correct? On 85 years in prison, potentially.
He will be sentenced on August 14th. And next week, there are two more trials that are scheduled against Morales for other boys that he molested. One for certain that would have been a part of Covenant Life Church and would have brought this to the attention of the pastors around 1992 also.
Incredible. Brent, what do you think? We talk so much about the problem of sex abuse in churches in general and how this problem in evangelicalism is beginning, finally, thank you, Lord, getting more attention among evangelicals. But what are some of your reflections? You have been so invested in this particular subject for so long. What are your reflections on the mercy of God being shown in a situation like the conviction today of Nathaniel Morales?
Well, I talked to one of the mothers of one of the victims, and she told me, Brent, I've been waiting 20 years for this day. And
long time to wait.
Oh, yes. But she, I mean, needless to say, is very, very grateful that finally justice has come. And she's not a vindictive woman. She just realizes that now, finally, they can get on with their life because they recognize that there has been such an attempt, you know, to conceal.
Well, Brent Detweiler, you can find what he writes over at his blog. It's BrentDetweiler.com. Brent, thank you so much for keeping us updated on this case. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Janet.
We'll be back right after this.